Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
Are you kidding me, Rockies? Come on now.
This is soft serve to right. Will it drop? Yes, it will. It'll bring home
with DJ.
And that's backed up the middle. Base hit. Charlie around third. And he'll water home with the Rockies' fifth run.
What about Cargo?
Pinch hitting. 2-1 count. Blackman on deck. And that is smoked to left center field.
Oh!
It'll bring home at least two.
Oh!
Cargo heading to second. 2-1 double off the bench. 8-1
what?
Back up the middle, on through, base hit.
Mercy rule. We got to call the mercy rule on you,
third
Phillies.
Hit of the night, second RBI of the night.
Wait, no mercy rule? We got to have at least
Colorado,
seven after seven?
Man.
Okay.
And this is hit to left. This is going to drop for ball.
Yes!
And that will score. And there's your 10th spot. 1-2, ball game over.
Boom, Brian
and
Shaw.
The Rockies with another
overwhelming
win against the Phillies. 10-1 last night, 10-3 tonight, and they move into a playoff spot in the National League. They move a half game in front of St. Louis for the final wild card spot. They knock off their 87th victory of the year, which matches their total from a year ago. And they are a season best 17 above 500.
Suck it, Phillies.
And they stay there.
What?
And they stay there.
Oh.
And they stay there.
So awesome, man. And then. The Arizona Diamondbacks. The Arizona Diamondbacks. It's so special what they did. Alfred, I'm going to give it to you in Spanish.
Randall Delgado empieza a calentar el bullpen de los Diamondbacks de Arizona.
Come on.
Tres y otra cuenta de Escobar. Se impulsa Maera. Lanzamiento.
Come on.
Elevado profundo de Escobar a jardín derecho. La pelota va volando lejos. Para atrás.
Yo, Source Fiesta.
Yeah!
And they stay there. And they stay there.
Oh, man.
And they stay there.
So pumped.
Because all I do is win.
Oh, my God, Alfred. And then the Dodgers lose. And, yeah.
St. Louis.
Yeah. We're in. And not only are we.
Whoa.
We're in right now. Today, we're in.
Whoa.
And I got even better news.
Whoa, come on, man.
No, we're in today if the season ended.
Well, I know today, but I mean, we got five more games.
The Dodgers have an extra game. We're tied in the loss column. You know what that means? That means that the Rockies control their own destiny to win the NL West. What? That means if they can win five in a row, just like they just did, if they can win five games in a row against two teams who are brutally out of the playoff hunt, if they can win five games in a row, they will win the NL West. And the number will be 92. I just never even dreamed that it could get there about a week ago, but they've turned it around, man. They have turned it around. It is Coors Field magic. It is reminiscent of 2007. I mean, it is happening. And they're arguably, they've got two great pitchers, Marquez and
Freeland.
And Marquez is going tonight, which would be great. He goes tonight. They win. And then, well, I hope we just win the NL West. We don't have to worry about playing a playoff game on
Monday. Way appreciate that.
That was awesome, and they pieced it together. They had to do this, you know, pitcher by committee last night.
It was great.
They
bullpen night in the middle of a playoff run. And everybody, you know, stood up and came to play.
Ugh.
And I was watching that game with a bunch of guys who are Rockies fans last night, man. And it was just, It was just pure joy in the whole building, man. It was just crazy. Everybody is understanding and looking at, you know, a couple guys have on St. Louis gear. You know, one guy had on Diamondbacks gear. I mean, it was just...
Who was that guy?
Oh, it was just guys.
Well, I like him. Yeah, well, I like the Diamondbacks now.
But it was, for me, man, you know, the Diamondbacks are doing what we couldn't do.
Whatever. You know? I don't care now.
I don't care how it happened either. Don't tell me about the sausage. Just make sure it tastes good.
Yeah, who cares? I don't care. You don't... It's not about style points. It's about winning. And we've got arguably our best pitcher going in a big game tonight. Whew. I'm excited, man. I am pumped up. I believe in these guys. And you know what's great? It's the players at the top of the lineup are producing when they need to produce. And I'm not writing off the Phillies, nor am I writing off the Nationals. However, I will tell you, way to go, Max Scherzer, getting that 300th strikeout. Because he is shutting it down for the rest of the season. So we don't have to face Max Scherzer when the Nationals come here. Because if he needed that 300th strikeout, he was probably going to pitch again. And that probably would have been against the Rockies.
Are you sure that they shut him down?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's done. That's it. It's a wrap.
300 strikeouts. He's done.
Yeah. He's accomplished. I mean, he's
Cy Young winner.
Yes.
Way to go.
Yeah, he did it.
Great year.
He did it, and Mrs.
Stay at home.
Mrs. Scherzer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He doesn't even have to travel with them.
Stay at home, man. If you're going to come, man, let me get you a tea time, bro.
Yeah, and Bryce Harper's going to take
let me get you a tea time, Max.
Bryce Harper's going to take what essentially be his last at-bats as a National in Washington, and when he comes here, he'll have nothing to play for.
Except everybody wants to hit home run. Everybody wants to hit dingers in Colorado.
Well, I mean...
Just to see how far it
of
runs.
Of course you want to hit dingers.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want.
But, I mean, you know, if only...
At home, they call me Big Al, and I hit dingers.
That's right, baby. My name is Big Al, and I hit dingers also.
Now, the Nationals are going to come here like, God, do we really...
Do we have to travel three and a half hours to go and...
Nah, they'll play a bunch of yippie-skippies, young guys.
Woo! They should. Let's go.
They should play young guys.
They should, man.
Of course they should.
Harper, you don't need to play another. You don't want to get hurt going into free agency.
That's a clown question, bro.
Back home, they call me Big Al, and I hit dingers.
All right.
Yes, Big Al.
Big Al hits dingers. Oh, no, it's going great. It's going great for the Rockies. I'm excited about it beyond belief. I'm hanging on every single pitch. It's a lot of fun. It's a great attitude and atmosphere down at the ballpark. They were celebrating Todd Helton last night, as he was, like, I think, voted, like, the greatest Rocky of all time, which is well-deserved.
Is he in town?
No, I don't think he was in town. They just, like, had him on the phone during the broadcast.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, he's, like, living in Tennessee now, right?
And yeah,
he's, like,
he
working
is.
With the Tennessee baseball team, and I'm sure having a great life there in Tennessee. You're golfing, buddy.
Your partner.
But here we go, man. Here we go. Rockies. I don't know. You know, a lot of people's like, you're going to talk Rockies? You're going to talk Rockies? I'm like, yeah, well, we can talk about how great it is. There's just not a lot of controversy going on there with the Rockies, thank goodness. You're seeing David Dahl really step up. I thought he hit a pop fly. I thought he was out, and the ball, like, just travels out. That was a little Coors Field magic right there. I think that's an out most places, but whatever. And, you know, there's a little bit of talk that Charlie Blackmon will be moved to left field or right field. You know, as he gets just a little bit older and it's a lot less wear and tear if he doesn't have to cover so much ground in center field, that's fine. Chuck Nasty's kind of a big dude. Like, when you look at Charlie Blackmon, it's like,
right.
You're not small.
He doesn't necessarily possess the game speed of a guy like Fowler, but
well, he can steal bases for sure, but it's just like the
but he's done well.
You're patrolling center field
in the biggest outfield in all of baseball.
Yeah. It's just that he's creeping into his 30s, and, you know, if you can expose him a little bit less and keep him hitting and running the way he needs to, that's fine. David Dahl could be the guy. That'd be great.
You think that kid would grow up with that...
That kid?
That thing for the rest of his life, like, that's who he is.
Yes,
like,
he'll be on Behind the Music, you know, the Charlie Blackmon kid.
Whatever happened to that kid came out and said...
Well...
You know, what happened to this kid?
Sorry,
Blackmon! He's a year older, so he probably doesn't say sorry, Blackmon, anymore.
No, he was cute at 3. He was hooked on cocaine at 9. It's,
don't.
Behind the scenes. Behind the music.
Oh, no.
With the Charlie Blackmon kid. Chicka-digga-digga-digga-ding, pong, pong, pong.
Something smells wrong in here.
I'm sure he'll be okay. I don't think anybody will know he's the Charlie Blackman kid. Charlie Blackman kid.
He's not actually saying Charlie.
He's not saying Charlie?
Listen to it.
What was he saying?
He's saying Charlie Blackman.
I think you're...
He's trying to say Charlie.
I think you're picking,
but he's so young.
I think you're being overly critical now.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, I have a grandson. I know what that sounds like.
May I have the language of fortune, please?
Thank
I think,
you. Thank you, Big Sexy.
I think there's a few adults after 5 o'clock sometimes can't put all their words together in the right frame of mind.
Closer to like 9:45.
Hello.
They sound like Charlie Blackman.
Right.
Struggling.
So a lot of fun. Lots of fun. Maybe not so much fun there in Broncos land.
Why? To win one.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get this. I don't get it's the same impression there.
Oh man, we're right where we want to be.
Real. Yeah,
we are right where we want
to
be.
It starts to get real now. Starts to get real.
It was real game one.
No,
it was real game two.
You played
it was
a terrible
real game
team.
Three.
Then you played a second terrible team.
Oh, man. You got to make those teams terrible. You know,
you
got to make every
lost
team.
To a mediocre team on the road.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that the Minnesota Vikings were saying that, hey, man, this one's in the bag?
Yes, I think they might have.
Mm-hmm. There are no easy games in the NFL. Once again, let me repeat. There are no easy games in the NFL, and on any day, anybody can be had. Do you think the Jacksonville Jaguars thought that they would get it handed to them by Tennessee?
No. No, I think,
man.
I think the Broncos can win.
You got to make every team a bad team.
I think
it's
the Broncos,
up to you to put doubt in their head.
I think the Broncos can win. I said it repeatedly yesterday. I'll say it again today. I agree with you on that. Crazy things happen in the NFL. But while
plans are just over the top.
No game is easy, and I'll agree with you on that. There are games that are easier than others. I mean, that's true of everything. Not everything is exactly the same.
Well, I would say that there are some teams that are beatable. There are some teams that are unbeatable.
Well, that contradicts exactly what you just said. There are no teams that are unbeatable.
Oh, a team that's focused and understands what's at
risk? Hasn't been a team that's been unbeatable since the 72 Dolphins.
Oh, I understand that. I understand that. But I'm just saying when the stakes are high, playing in the biggest moment, those are when the great teams show up, I guess. I guess that's what I'm saying.
But nobody's unbeatable.
Unbeatable? Yeah, you're probably right about that. If the perfect game plan is put in action, everybody is beatable.
Yeah, and that's what's so exciting about the NFL, because it comes down all the time to one game. Whereas in a series, like in hockey, NBA, even baseball, that's why the one-game playoff in baseball is so exciting, because anybody's... The Phillies look like fools right now, right next to the Rockies. The Phillies are a legit team and could absolutely beat the Rockies tonight. There's just no doubt about it. However, could the Phillies beat the Rockies 4 out of 7 games? There's no way. Rockies are just a better team. Anyways.
I like our chances against anybody in Mile High.
Yeah, I do too. It's a home field advantage.
It's unique home field advantage. It's a very, very unique.
You should win every single game you play at Mile High.
Home field advantage is an understatement when you play at 5,280 feet.
Whatever.
I mean, really, listen, dude.
Whatever.
There's nobody else comes even remotely close.
I'll agree. Broncos should win every single. I think a high quality organization like the Broncos should win every single game at home. There's really no excuse for them to lose a game at home.
As long as your quarterback is ready to go and you have a great game plan, it's so important to get those first 15
right.
Why
are you putting out qualifiers like that?
No, but the first 15.
They should win at Mile High every single game.
Listen. When you get off to a great start, you put doubt into everybody's mind that you're playing, whether or not they want to give a tremendous effort today because it's not going well. Trust me, I've been on the other side of this, and when the Broncos jump out on you and it is 10-0 in the first quarter and then it becomes 17-3 or 17-7, it feels like it's an insurmountable task to make up, especially when you're on defense and you're sucking air. Let's check out the conditioning of the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's put them to test.
Yeah, I got you. We should. The Broncos, if they're doing what they should be doing as an organization, should be, I'm trying to think, like, what game was I ever at Mile High over the past 19 years that I felt like, oh, man, we don't have a chance today? I couldn't tell you one. When Pittsburgh came in here for a playoff game with Tim Tebow, I thought they could win, and they did. I've never sat, but I've seen the two most humiliating defeats I've ever seen in the past 19 years were the Raiders putting up 50-something points. That was horrible. And in the McDaniels era, when the Rams came here, and there were like 30,000 no-shows, and Josh was standing there by himself, and the Rams just did whatever they wanted to us. That was like embarrassing. But aside from those two, I just never have thought the Broncos were ever going to lose a game at home.
My two most memorable losses here in Denver, one was a game that I played in against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Losing that game changed this organization forever. And then the other loss that was a no contest loss was when we lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers here in the playoffs. We got so thoroughly outcoached in that game, man. I mean, it was.
What year was that?
I don't know. It was. Jake Plummer was a quarterback, and
the AFC Championship.
Yeah,
game.
I mean, we were playing a zero level defense. Basically, everybody in within you know a breath of the guy on the offense. I mean, it was crazy,
you certainly didn't think we were going to lose.
But
that
we
game.
Got embarrassed. We didn't have a chance in the game.
I got gotcha, you, but know. You didn't go into it thinking we don't have a shot.
No, I'm just saying, but, you know.
So we're about to go to the Super Bowl at home.
But see, this is what I'm saying. With great game plans, man, with great game plans and the great calls, man, you can flip people, man. You can take a team and really flip them and make them feel like, what is going on? Like, why are we doing this? This is crazy. Come on, guys. And, you know, you got guys like, you know, when the Lions – you know, we should have known that the Lions had a better chance to beat the Patriots than any other team out there, knowing that Matt Patricia knows that organization inside out, and he was a defensive coordinator of record the last, you know, whatever, 7 or 8 years. You got to know that that guy understands how that organization works and knows what their sticking points are.
So we're both basically on the same page. It's always favors the Broncos when they play at home.
You got to have a great game plan.
Okay.
Listen, man, you just can't say that you're going to show up, man. This business is a business of game plans.
Let me go over the last few times Kansas City's played here. Last year, Mahomes is the starter. Kansas City beats us 27-24.
Comes back in the game when it becomes important.
2016, KC beats Denver in overtime 30-27. 2015, Kansas City beats Denver 29-13. So the last.
The benching of Peyton Manning.
The last three times, 15, 16, and 17, Kansas City has beaten Denver in Denver. Why?
Because they run a better style of offense and they understand how to beat man-to-man coverage. This is a game where actually, you know, Joe Woods may come out and
get fired.
Better game plan than Wade Phillips or
yeah, that's not
the game plan. Listen, dude, he did beat Wade Phillips, right?
Huh? Who?
The Kansas City Chiefs did beat the Broncos here. In 2015, Wade Phillips was our defensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah, but Joe Woods wasn't the, What are you talking about? You're comparing Wade Phillips to Joe Woods?
Well, I'm telling you.
What are you talking about?
If you are playing a man-to-man style of defense, there are things that you can do to man-to-man coverage that can just absolutely just destroy man-to-man coverage.
Here's the truth of the matter.
You got it.
How long has Andy Reid been the head coach at Kansas City, by the way? Was he there in 2015? I believe he was, mm-hmm. right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So Andy Reid has figured out how to come in here to Denver and put 29 on the board, put 30 on the board, and put 27 on the board.
He's a great coach.
Andy Reid has figured out how to do that against Wade Phillips. He's figured out how to do that against Joe Woods. And he arguably has the best offense he's ever coached right now.
He's a great football coach. He can draw them up as well as anybody I've ever seen. I've been telling you for years that Andy Reid is one of the rarest coaches in the NFL because he keeps moving. He keeps changing. His philosophies about the passing game and running games have all changed over the time where he entered into the NFL in a West Coast offensive style to now where he is, where he's running college stuff.
So the Chiefs, with Andy Reid in the past 3 years, have scored 30 points a game here in Denver. And he has an offense now that's first in the league, scoring 39.3 points a game. So to think that you're just going to be able to come in defensively, shut down the Chiefs completely, is a bit foolish.
You're going to have
to put a hand
in
his face.
In fact,
you could make the argument that if you're Joe Woods and you can just keep it to 30 points, you're probably doing okay.
Well, this is what I would say. If the Kansas City Chiefs are in a position to be blitzed at any point, this is the week. Because I think
Kelce to have 300 yards?
Listen, man, there's a way that tight ends become open in this league. It's called play action. Play action really doesn't matter when you're bringing smoke and fire.
Dude, every tight end we've played so far, including rookies and guys who barely played, have lit up the Broncos defense.
Because we're not bringing fire. Play action works. Listen, if linebackers are checking up and they're just making sure their run responsibility is where it's supposed to be, there always is going to be a potential for a tight end to get behind him. But if you line that safety up and you line him up 6 yards deep, 1 yard inside, and you say, go ahead and play run defense, secondary, your job is to take care of the safety, we're good.
I think if the Broncos can keep him to 30 and score some points. So, like
Patrick
you said,
Mahomes cannot have an easy day in the pocket. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. They're still going to put up. They're still going to put up 30.
You know, bring some real heat against this team if you want to see who Patrick Mahomes is. Nobody has really lined up and said, "We're bringing it today. We're bringing it. We know who you are. This is who we are. We're bringing it today. Today, hey, all of your trickery, all of your foolishness that you run, it doesn't matter. I'm bearing down on you." You got to deal with it.
So how many points do you think the Broncos defense with Joe Woods and Vance Joseph and the rest?
With my strategy?
Yeah. How many points do you think you can limit Kansas City to?
20?
So
two touchdowns, two field goals?
Even though in the past three times they've scored 27, 30, and 27, and even though they average almost 40 points a game, you think you can keep them to 20 points on Monday night?
That's what you have to do. You have to run the football.
Well, that's what we have to do. We may have a long night there, Alfred, because what you're really saying is that we can only score 21.
No, what I'm telling you is that you can limit this. I didn't tell you how many we were scoring.
How many are we scoring?
Maybe 35.
So why wouldn't we be happy just keeping them to 30 then?
I don't want to keep them to 30 because I play defense. And,
don't you want to win the game?
Keeping them to 20 is better than keeping them to 30.
It doesn't matter if you win. You only have to score one more point.
See, this is what's happened.
It doesn't matter.
This is what happened. This is what happens when you try to just, you know, limit them. No, man, you need to force the action. You need to force the action and make them become predictable.
How many interceptions has Mahomes thrown so far?
Zero.
Right.
How many balls were tipped in the air? How many pass interference was called? I mean, you want to go down a litany of things that have happened good for the Kansas City Chiefs? We can. But don't forget, when the ball is tipped up in the air, when a fingertip is on a football, it changes the trajectory, and because of that, there's a better chance to get interceptions. You can't do that unless you're in the quarterback's face.
Right. Maybe we're arguing about the silly bad stuff.
We can't play the same way we have played on defense.
So we just sort of disagree. I don't think there's any way to stop them from scoring at least 30, and you do. That being said, it doesn't matter.
Find out.
The question is, can they score 31 or more? And I think they can. You think they can as well, right?
I know they can.
Yeah, I think they can against this defense.
The weather's
going
to be perfect. Are you kidding me? Yes.
Yeah. So
I'm going to put numbers up.
I think the Broncos can absolutely win, but there's a reason why they're a 5-point underdog at home. And there's a reason why Andy Reid has been successful here in Denver.
Andy Reid has been successful everywhere he's been as an offensive coordinator and a head coach. He's been successful everywhere he's been.
Andy Reid led teams in the last 9 seasons are 1-6 in the playoffs.
Yeah, but we're not talking about
the
playoffs.
I didn't know we're in the playoffs this week.
We're talking about the regular season. What is Andy Reid's record in the regular season in the last 9 years? That should be a better indication about
with
who.
Kansas City is 83-56.
Okay.
With in the last five games against
I'm sorry,
the
56-27.
In the last five,
so he's
last
2-1.
Games in the last five games against the Broncos, he's 5-0.
Great coach. You better get him, you know, you better try to get him later on after you've seen some of the stuff that he wants to do.
Zach Bye did some cool research on a theory you had.
No theory, I just speak truth.
Okay, you didn't have any numbers. You didn't prove your theorem.
You know what?
You had a hunch on something.
I had no hunch. I saw the game. I knew what was happening. And I saw the quarterback running to the sideline trying to get his hands dry.
Yeah.
And I knew exactly what was going on.
Well, he actually, like, looked up the numbers behind it to see if what you theorized was correct. But there's a little bit of a twist to it that he didn't talk about. We'll bring it up in the Big Three next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
Story number one, let's look at Case Keenum. And you brought up, Al, that you suspected he doesn't play as well inside or outside as he does inside, and Zach did a great job going through his year last year, and indeed the numbers are telling. His QBR is 12 points higher inside than outside. His completion percentage is 6 points better inside than outside, and he threw for more yards per game inside than outside. The only, and maybe even more telling, inside 12 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, whereas outside 10 touchdowns and 5 interceptions in what was obviously a career year for Case Keenum. Now, my only issue with Zach's, you know, research there is just that, well, are all NFL quarterbacks, you know, better inside than outside? You know, and I don't know that. So I look at these numbers and I say, okay, that's interesting, but still a 65% completion percentage outside? That's pretty good. You know, the QBR is low. At 62 in terms of how other quarterbacks are rated. However, we looked it up. A 62 last year would still be, by itself, a top 10 quarterback rating. So despite the fact that, yes, his numbers are down compared to outside-inside, they're still really good. 2-1 touchdowns to interceptions and a top 10 ranking in QBR. So I wonder if there's something else, Al, besides just being inside or outside with Case Keenum to explain what's going on so far.
I would tell you that wet conditions are not good for the Broncos when Case Keenum is quarterbacking the team.
I think there's something else going on.
I don't think it is. I think it's just wet weather where you can't grip the football. Changes the game for Case Keenum. I think everything is, you know, I don't think cold weather is going to bother him. I don't think that snow's going to bother him unless it's a consistent snowy day all day where you can't grip the football, and that's usually not the case here in Denver.
So if Case Keenum has a bad day on Monday night, then what? It's supposed to be dry conditions. It's supposed to be...
He just have a bad day playing football.
I think there's something else going on.
I don't think so.
It's just the weather?
I just think that...
That's it.
I think last week there was a combination of two things. Trying to be careful and then dealing with a wet football.
All right, bongos.
Three! Aqib Talib has been put on IR in Los Angeles with the Rams.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Takes the zip out of the game coming up in a couple weeks.
Takes a little bite out of the game.
Yeah.
Is the game still as...
No, it's meaningless. It's a non-conference game. It wasn't really that important in the first place, but it was going to be more fun because of Talib. And now without Talib, I mean, Wade Phillips to a certain degree, but... It is what it is. Non-conference games just aren't as big of a deal. It's still a big deal to win because it's a home game and you got to win your home games. So, you know, it's not a non-conference road game. We'll have those this year. Arizona and San Francisco, I believe. But you know, it's not the same. It's just not the same. It's not that big of a deal.
By the way, Thursday night, the Rams are playing on Thursday Night Football, and Son of Bum has been asked to wear his dad's old throwback sideline gear with the gallon hat and the blue jeans and the button-down shirt and the vest. I don't think it's going to happen, but it would at least it was...
Why isn't it going to happen?
Because the NFL is a Nike team, and if it's a Nike team, then they must wear Nike apparel. Unless Nike's going to come out with a, you know, 10-gallon hat.
Well, you can put a logo on anything if you want.
Well, I guess if they wanted to, if they really wanted to see it.
Who's asking them to do it?
Apparently, a lot of people out in Los Angeles want to see Son of Bum dressed like Bum for Throwback Thursday.
Right.
Well, it's a good idea to me.
Sure, if he wants to. Bongos. Three! Okay, the roughing the passer penalty. Al, now we're seeing other people speak out about it, including New Orleans head coach Sean Payton. And what they're saying is this is just too much. We've got to fix this. Do you think there'll be a subtle adjustment to this specific type of penalty, similar to how, after all the penalties early in preseason, there was a subtle adjustment?
I do.
Kind of a nod, wink, wink. Hey, refs, keep the laundry in your pocket.
Right, and all it takes is a group of angry viewers, a group of angry advertisers, and a group of angry front office executives to say, this is ruining our game, and the NFL will get it. They got it on the targeting rule, which has only been called, I think, through the first 2 weeks, it was only called 2 weeks in all of the games that were played, 32 games, and you only call it two times? I mean, let's be honest here. That rule went away because people were tired of it and didn't understand it. And I think more people are in the same boat when it comes to understanding what is a good hit on a quarterback, what is a bad hit. You know, nobody wants you know what a malicious hit looks like. And if there's any question, let's review it on tape.
I'm gone bungos.
Three!
I'm gone bungos? I'm gone bungos.
By the way, last one real quick for me. You can leave the music right where it is. Do you think there's anything wrong with Andrew Luck's arm? Because at the end of the game against the Indianapolis Colts, with a few seconds left in the game, Jacoby Brissett was brought into the game to throw the Hail Mary from 56 yards out.
Probably then. Yeah, probably something.
Probably don't want to risk it, huh, in a Hail Mary situation.
Probably not. Mongong Mongos.
Three.
Okay, when we come back, it is Game Plan Wednesday. We'll hear from Vance Joseph and get updates on the team. And there's Adam Jones is back practicing. Thank God Jamie Moyer is feeling better. We'll get to what the Broncos are going to face with the Chiefs next.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Well, I see that Drain Brock and Pac-Man Jones were back on the field today. Also, there was an extra kicker. Kicking competition, BJ, why are you doing that?
Well, we've had him here in a mandatory minicamp. You know, he's been with Tom in training camp, and you know, we have to get better there, you know, so we're looking forward to you know, Marquette having a good week of punting, but it's performance-based business, you know, so we're trying to get better there.
Okay, does that mean you're about to cut Marquette King? Is that
well,
right?
You want to hang the ball with Tyreek Hill, you know, and that's going to be the key with this guy. I mean, he's a dangerous returner. He doesn't fair catch the football, but I think hanging the ball high is going to be the key. You know, one of the keys to containing him. But again, it's going to take our entire coverage team, and we have to do a good job of keeping him from hurting us with punt returns.
Yeah, I hope you understand what's going on here. This backup, the Wadham guy, or Wadham, however you say his name, he was brought in by Tom McMahon, the special teams coach. Like, this is Tom McMahon's guy. Marquette King was John Elway's guy. But the special teams coach was like, I got a guy. I got a guy, okay? Bringing in punters to the practice squad is, like, unheard of. It just doesn't happen. And I told you last year what they would do when they were facing a left-footed kicker, like they are with Dustin Colquitt, they would bring in a left-footed punter. I don't know where they find these random left-footed punters, but they would bring in left-footed punters so the guys could see the spin from the ball and work on that a little bit. They were literally just here for practice. This isn't that case. First of all, this Wadham guy's not a lefty. He's a righty. This is just straight up, if Marquette King sucks, he's gone. And we got a guy, and that's that.
Here's what I want you to remember. That little group of people, those three guys that work together every single week to make sure things go well in all parts of the kicking game, involves also Marquette King as the holder for McManus.
Right. So McManus's opinion should count.
Hold on. Okay. Brandon McManus has got off to another hot start. He's 4-for-4, and he's made 2 field goals plus 50. So before you go off
in Denver,
and wherever.
Well, it's a difference between hitting 50-yard field goals on the road and in Denver.
Period. He's 2-for-2.
In Denver.
He's 2-for-2, no matter where he's playing. 2-for-2.
Alfred, you don't think kicking makes a difference in Denver compared to the East Coast?
He's 2-for-2 over 50. That's what I said.
Never mind the altitude. It doesn't matter.
2-for-2.
Gotcha.
Over 50. 4-for-4 for the year. Don't mess with that. One of them a game winner. Don't mess with that. Let's give this guy a little time.
Now, I know Marquette King?
Yeah, let's.
Oh, my Lord, Al. You gotta be kidding me.
You just always look at things singularly. You're not looking at the big picture. You're not looking at the big picture.
I didn't bring a punter into the practice squad, Alfred. The Broncos did.
That's right.
I didn't film a stupid video up on top of a parking garage. Marquette King did.
But,
I didn't act like a fool in front of the media. Marquette King did.
But at the same time, your kicker has gotten off to a hot start. You don't want to interrupt that right now. Certainly,
what makes you think McManus likes Marquette King?
I don't know if he does or doesn't.
Yeah,
but
well,
I'm just
you
telling
don't know
you,
that, do you?
It did, you know, good. Sometimes good working relationships only work because you're just professional. You don't have to go out to dinner with the guy and like a guy. Mm. As long as he does his job and he does it well, then sometimes that's all it takes.
Dude,
you don't have to
like,
be a great
there's
teammate.
There's like 20 guys on the team that can hold the ball for Brandon McManus.
Yeah?
Yes.
You think all
Chad
of them
Kelly,
could do a, as
Chad
good
Kelly,
of a job as...
Chad Kelly would be fine. He would be better. Chad Kelly would be better.
Man, I tell you what, boy. Sometimes you can say some things, man, that come out your mouth that just make me shrug my shoulders.
Who do you think would be better holding a ball, Chad Kelly or Marquette King?
Marquette King.
Why?
Because while Chad Kelly is taking reps over there with the offense, Marquette King is over there holding the ball with the kicker.
Okay. So you want to keep a bad punter who's just kind
I'm
of
not saying
bad
he,
karma I on the team because Brandon
bad
McManus?
Karma?
Yes.
What's the bad karma?
The goofy video.
That was
erratic,
a bad move. That
the
was
erratic,
a bad look.
The erratic behavior and the terrible punting.
The terrible punting may be correctable. We'll see what competition does.
Listen, man, it wasn't me that suggested bringing in a... competition. I wouldn't suggest that in a million years. I was definitely resigned to the fact Marquette King was going to be here for 3 years.
Right. Not for 3 years.
I
thought that, no, because there's only $2 million guaranteed this year.
Well, I know that too, but I was
so
like,
that's
how
the
bad
thing
can
that,
you be?
That,
you're kicking in Denver. You're going to be one of the top five punters in the league.
Well,
I mean,
we don't know what's going on.
Who couldn't be a top five punter in Denver?
We don't know what's going on, but I tell you what, if it means sacrificing our field goal game, I don't want that.
I think Brandon McManus would be fine with that move, by the way.
Dude, you just can't. Some things, okay.
All right, Patrick Mahomes. This is VJ about the quarterback.
Well, he's playing well. You know, he's got a bunch of weapons, and again, they have a good scheme also. You know, so you combine the quarterback's arm talent with the skilled players he's throwing to with Andy Reid's system, it makes it a tough out. But again, you know, we've played great defense here over the years, so we're looking forward to the challenge.
I don't like the matchup with Andy Reid at no point.
No, it's not
with
good.
With Wade Phillips, without Wade Phillips, with that great defense that we had.
It's not good.
Doesn't matter. I don't like, listen, man, that guy is one of the greatest offensive minds in all of football. And his offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, a great friend of mine, I don't know how much he has to do, if any, with some of the stuff that's called, but it's just so unique. It's so fantastic. It's, you know, I have offensive envy when I look at them and the way that they play football. Not just the quarterback is having a great day every time they step on the field. Of those 12 quarterbacks, you know, this guy has thrown touchdowns to 9 different receivers.
Yeah, and here's VJ explaining what the key is to Mahomes.
He's definitely more confident.
You know, and as you watch him in the first three games, they're doing more on offense with him. So obviously having an entire spring and entire training camp, it's a lot of offense. You know, and that makes it a tough out. You know, with his talent, with the skill he has around him, with the running back, you know, and the scheme, it makes it tough. But again, you know, we're gonna have a great scheme on Monday night and looking forward to the challenge.
Here's what I want to say about playing it.
I wonder what that scheme is gonna be.
Here's what I want to say about playing a guy like Patrick Mahomes. In today's NFL, he can get away with it. He can get away with running this offense because there's a rule in general football that says when you fake a handoff, you are now an eligible runner.
Mm-hmm.
When you become an eligible runner, you can plaster the quarterback every time he sticks the ball in the running back's gut. Every time he sticks it out there and he's riding and deciding, he's also a runner. So you can punish him. Now, I don't know what the NFL will allow you to do this year since they have new rules, but this is a basic, you know, if that was a running back who had the ball and was doing that, certainly you would take the running back out. Why wouldn't you take the quarterback out too?
All right, that time. Here it is Wednesday. How do you game plan for the hottest quarterback in the NFL? We'll get to it next.